Welcome to Oversharing with the Overbees. I'm Joe.
And I'm Matt.
And each week you can tune in to hear us respond to your voicemails, go in depth on our lives as content creators, and hopefully leave you feeling even better than we found you.
With that being said, let's get to oversharing.
It's crazy that it's already mid-November.
It's not. It's October. Like 95% sure.
Yeah.
Pretty close to sure.
Halloween happens like what, October 7th?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
If I remember right.
It definitely hasn't already happened, and we haven't already talked about it.
No.
So we got plenty of time left in the year.
Plus
this next like 6 weeks goes super slow, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's like once Thanksgiving's here, everything just slows way just down.
Yeah, yeah, there's so much time.
December's always the slowest month of the year. That's what I always say.
Oh, no.
You know what actually is the slowest month of the year?
August.
No.
No. February.
Yeah.
February
is also the shortest month, and it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden it's March, and you're like, what the hell happened?
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I think time's just not
real.
Real. It's a vibe.
Yeah, I can't believe that Thanksgiving's already next week.
That's, again, you keep saying that, and it keeps feeling very not true to me.
I know. And for everybody listening, next week there will not be an episode because we are traveling, and we're going to take the week off for the holiday, and we will resume back that first week of December, and we'll be here for, I think, 3 episodes in December, and then we're going to take our 2-week break like we do every year.
Yeah. Just our social.
Yeah. So we won't be posting podcasts during that. And then we will resume starting with the next season in January.
Doing it all.
And I'll remind you guys of that in a couple weeks when we are wrapping. But no episode next week. Be prepared for that. We are traveling to go see Matt's family. We're going to see grandparents and aunt and uncle and all the cousins.
All the cousins.
And
she's a big cousins fan.
Yeah, big fan of cousins. And it should be a lot of fun. Any chance to travel. I like to travel with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, the airplane part is the worst part. But once we get 2 kids on the plane and get them off the plane, really getting them off the plane.
You know,
once we get there, it'll be good.
Matt fought me on these flights. Well, I shouldn't say fought me. He suggested to me that we do not a nonstop to save some money. And I said, absolutely not.
We also just put it off long enough that we didn't save any money anymore.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that bad for how long we put it off.
No, we booked them this week. That's for transparency purposes. Yes, we booked our Thanksgiving flights.
So
a week and a half in advance.
Thing about being married to Matt, I think.
Oh no.
Is it's not about you, it's about how I've changed. And it's something that I'm trying
also
to like kind of pull back on because I didn't realize how much so. I used to be a really early planner. So like I would book my travel 6 to 8 weeks out, longer than that.
No, you would book it like six months out.
I'd book my flights like 6 months out. I'd have my hotel booked. I would have
I still don't stand by booking your hotel early. Like
that. I would do like a rough itinerary, a gentle itinerary for where I was going, things I wanted to go do. And you know the trip that really broke me?
What?
Italy.
Italy did?
Italy, yeah. I kept trying to put together an itinerary and get stuff booked when we went to Italy in 2019. Mm-hmm. And Matt was just not on board with helping me plan. Like, you didn't want to be a part of it. Not that you didn't want to go, but you were just like, I don't care. And so I kind of got this, well, if you don't care, we'll just figure it out as we go, I guess.
We'll see how bad it goes.
Yeah. And we booked everywhere we stayed as we stayed there. Like, we got to Italy with not a place booked to stay.
I thought we had the first night booked.
We had the first night booked. You're right.
Yeah, we had a place the first night, and then we...
We were there for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just check the night before where we could stay the next night.
Yeah, and we figured it out. But that trip broke me.
Doesn't sound good.
I have not planned an itinerary since, and I kind of hate that.
Oh.
But I didn't realize I hated it.
Oh, okay.
Well, because I thought I was being like cool, not in the way that I thought other people thought I was cool. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, not stressing about this. Like, I really need to chill out. And I think there's a balance.
Sure.
Like, that's what I'm getting at. I'm not saying how I was is good. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying this extreme is good. I think there's a balance in the yeah. middle. But because I decided that I was going to swing the other way, we have completely defeated balance.
You went from 100 to zero?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
And now we, yeah.
Now we only go with the flow. The yeah. flow really has to get going.
And I really hate going with the flow this heavily.
Yeah.
I
That's valid.
Think what I have learned.
This is an extreme method.
Well, you know how I watched a TikTok this week where somebody was talking about how there's always the friend that's like, it all works out. It all works out. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's like, yeah, it works out because I'm making it work out. I'm solving the problems. That was me.
Yeah.
And I quit and I was like, oh, it is working out. And I'm like looking around at my life right now. I'm like, I don't know that it worked out. I think it descended into complete and utter chaos.
Oh.
And now I'm having to dig everybody out of it.
Oh, well, you're doing a great job.
It's mainly laundry chaos.
Yeah.
That's like 95% of my problems.
Well, I feel like I'm doing most of the digging in the laundry department.
I want to own like 10 pieces of clothing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a laundromat.
No, I keep getting rid of stuff.
I keep trying. I'm not good at it.
You're terrible.
I'm really bad at it.
I don't understand it because you wear the same, like your closet could be 10 pieces.
Yeah, it really could. But I'm like, what if I need it? What if an event happens and then I don't have that and then I don't have it and then I have to go get one?
So often too. Well, and the thing about that is every event you've been to for the last year, I feel like, it comes up to the event and you have to go buy something anyway because you can't find what you're thinking
that's
of.
Okay, that's a closet issue.
Right.
Which I suppose I should clear my closet out so that I can see the things that I need in there. Okay, I'm seeing the point.
He got there.
I got there.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Yep, sounds good. Sounds like some work could be done.
Yeah, I want to own almost nothing. I started following a minimalist account on Instagram, and it's been fascinating. I really think I want to get rid of most of my things because I am definitely the girl that, to avoid doing laundry, would buy more socks.
Like, I think we've talked about that at length.
Yeah, and I think that's caused most of my problems because now I just have too many socks.
We do have a hamper dedicated to socks.
And that's just so overwhelming, you know? Whereas if I owned 7 pairs of socks and that was it,
mm-hmm.
and I just washed them once a week.
You did buy the most colorful, extravagantly decorated socks in the biz too. So they couldn't be like paired.
None of my colorful socks I purchased.
What?
Yeah. Those are all in like gift baskets and stuff over the years.
Well,
I just would like you to know.
You have more like walrus socks and pink socks with words on them.
Yes. I am not telling you
that. Even the days of the week?
I did not purchase the days of the
week. You didn't buy your days of the week socks?
No, those were a gift, the whole set.
Because the number of times you wore the wrong days of the week on your feet was hilarious.
I'm not saying you're wrong about how many colorful. I have a ton of colorful socks.
Sure.
But I did like a gift exchange with friends one year that everybody got socks. And I ended up with like 8 pairs of Santa and like Christmas socks.
Okay.
I have all kinds of
patterns.
I feel
slightly better about you as a person now that I know that you didn't buy all of these ridiculous socks.
No, the
for
only
yourself.
Socks that I have purchased are the ones that you'll notice I have a ton of, which are the ones that have the little like gold seam at the toe and the blue seam at the toe.
Got it.
Those are the ones that I have purchased.
I have noticed those.
Yeah. And those are my favorite. That's why. And I also bought some Asics.
Yep.
Socks. But those are still white. They do have color on them that you need to match them to their same color.
Sure.
But
that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about ones that have different colored logos or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the blue ones with like penguins
like
on them.
Like when you put your feet together, they make a single walrus face or something like that.
Yeah, things of that ilk.
Yeah.
Nothing specific is popping out in my brain, but there's a lot of very gaudy socks in there.
I've recently purchased a lot of taller socks, like up to the knee taller socks.
Knee highs?
Yeah.
Or calf socks?
Are
you buying true knee high socks?
Not over the knee.
But like up to the
knee?
To
the knee, yeah. I
really?
Bought three
what
pairs
for?
To wear with my boots under jeans and stuff so that they don't rub on the
side
of my
leg.
Surely
there is a purpose for this. Like, you're not buying them for style.
My cowboy boots are back in. Like, yep. They're so popular right now. And I'm sure I've talked about how much I love my cowboy boots. And they're like 15. They're probably more than 15 years old now. 20. But I love them. And then I also got a new pair of kind of Western looking boots. But I've been wearing them a lot with things that cover the boot. And when I wear something that covers the boot and I'm not showing my leg, I like to wear a sock that comes up higher than the boot just for comfort.
Oh, yeah. No, totally get that.
And so
they're functional.
Okay. Yeah.
You're good. I just want to make sure you weren't just buying knee-high socks for
and just wearing
style.
Them.
Yeah.
You were like, Joe, those aren't in.
Yeah, those. Well, I mean, I don't know that they were ever in as a look.
I'm not listening to anybody on telling me what's in or not anymore, though.
Okay.
I'm going through my finding my style era.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And
what are you finding?
I'm finding I'm just going to wear things that I like.
Comfortable. Yeah.
Colorful. I like a lot of monotone. Like, I know I just said colorful, but it can still be colorful in just one.
Yeah, monochrome.
Oh, monochrome.
Yeah.
I'm dumb. Monotone's the odd, like, when you're
all level.
Level
yeah.
audio, right?
Yeah.
Or anything?
A one tone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Monochrome is all
I think you could
one.
Use monotone with color, maybe, but it would mean
it's monochrome
like,
is what I mean, though.
Very uninteresting.
Yeah. But monochrome, like, so that it's all one color. It can be a bright color.
Sure.
But I really am into that. I don't know. I think for a long time, pretty much my entire life, as people do, I've let what other people say impact my choices just way too much.
Sure.
I am a recovering people pleaser. I am a recovering desperate for people to like me girl.
Okay. Love that.
I'm in my, I don't care if anybody likes me season. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that I do a ton to be like
disliked.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's about not allowing other people to impact how I express myself and the things that I like. It's not about, like, I still want to be kind to people. I still want to be a decent human being.
F the world. I'm wearing monochrome.
But don't you think that maybe, I feel like you were so confident through high school and college in a way that I wasn't, and you've always just kind of known what you've liked, and you don't care if other people like it or not. I wasn't that person.
You're talking specifically clothes or what?
Everything. Well, like I think about, like I was a huge Taylor Swift fan in middle school and high school, and that was not cool then.
Gotcha.
Like everybody was like, Taylor Swift's stupid. And I was like embarrassed that, you know?
Sure.
And like, I'm trying to think of, which is funny because now I'm not like I just am. She's cool.
Yeah, you're in the middle. Lots of people are high.
Yeah, I still love her.
Yeah.
I love her. We still bump her albums and everything. But I also sit and I wonder, I'm like, is part of that me not wanting to commit to...
Your reflex?
Yeah, is my reflex now to not like or dislike anything because then nobody can make fun of me for what I like.
Now you're sounding dangerously close to me.
I know. I know. It's not good.
Yeah. I don't know if I was wildly confident. I think I just tried to do things, you know, a little different.
Yeah.
And that way I couldn't be judged one way or the other. I also tried not to get like too into anything, just like you were talking about, to temper expectations and
so we were
not
the same.
Put myself out there. Yeah.
We are
I just did
recovering.
In a way cooler way.
Oh, you just did it way
cooler.
Yeah,
like I just seemed less worried about it.
Okay. I seemed very worried about it.
You were very worried about it.
I still am.
Yeah.
Not the same way, I don't think.
No, you're better.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm working through that.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did you do this week? Do you have anything on your mind?
Oh, man, we've been building furniture like it's going out of style. Rehabbed the patio. I think that already happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Last week, yeah.
But we redid the kids' rooms.
Yeah, kids' rooms. Been building furniture, man. Big girl bed. Jeez. Big girl bed is here. It's been built. She's slept exactly one night in it. It went great.
Mm-hmm.
A little sad, a little emotional.
It's crazy.
But yeah, she's solo, big girl bed.
Yeah.
Had to take the crib out, which requires taking the sides off because it's been built exactly slightly too big to fit through a doorway.
I was impressed you got it out by yourself.
I remembered how we got it in, and that's really the only way because you have to tip it up. You can't even slide it out and turn it.
And the weird part is we have wide doors.
Yeah, we do.
So it's wild. I'm like, how are people getting cribs?
It doesn't fit through
rooms?
A 36-inch door with both sides. You can take one side off and get it through a 36-inch door. I know this because I had to do this at our last house, getting it out the front door that was pinned.
That's so wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, built just ever so slightly to be maximally inconvenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a standard crib. Like, it's not like it's where we got it from.
Like
it is
a special order for wide babies. Crib. Yeah. A jumbo baby crib. No.
Yeah. And I got the toddler conversion kits for the cribs finally in way too late.
Yeah.
So we're going to store those
just in time to take the crib out of a room and get her a big girl
I
bed.
Ordered it forever ago and it was back ordered and it came in a week after her big girl bed arrived.
It did.
So, you know, you win you lose some.
That's all right.
But Matt's been working on that. And then I have been grinding away at Q4 collaborations and content.
Busy.
And I have also been working a ton. I have a giant launch tomorrow, if you're listening on the day this comes out, on Thursday, November 7th. What's the date?
16th.
It's November 16th.
It's the 14th today.
Yeah, okay. So on Thursday, November 16th at 10 a.m. on riffraff.com, I have a new line, a collection of sweatshirts coming out with them. I'm really excited about it. There are 5 different designs. And Leah, who helped do all the design work, shout out to her. She's so talented. Actually went through and listened to clips from the podcast and pulled some things that we've talked about in the podcast in order to create a lot of the designs. So I'm so excited to share that with you. I'm wearing one of them right now, the Take Care sweatshirt. And Matt's wearing the hat, which it says Oversharer, and it says they didn't need to know that underneath, and it is in the colors of our podcast. Yeah. So
it's not podcast merch per se, but it's podcast inspired.
It is podcast inspired.
It's subtle.
And just a lot of the topics that we've talked about, a lot of it's about self-care. A lot of it is about just kind of trying to facilitate a better mindset for yourself. And then there's a book sweatshirt thrown in there and a coffee sweatshirt thrown in there. So
something for everybody.
Yeah. You can check it out. And I'm really excited. I'm a little nervous.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and code Joe15. That always works at Riffraff for anybody listening. J-O-1-5. Will give you 15% off on their site anytime. I'm nervous because it's my first collection that's not the Lake collection.
Yeah. And you've done the Lake collection for years.
Yeah. So we're 3 years in on the Lake collection. It's been really successful every time. And it's been so much fun because I've connected with so many people about their love of the lake and getting to grow up on the lake and what that was like and having something so niche. And when Riff Raff contacted me wanting to do this collection and kind of try and lean into some of the other topics that I seem to talk a lot about, I just was nervous. I don't know.
Yeah. It's much more broad.
Yeah. It feels, I don't know. I just get nervous.
Uncharted territory. So
uncharted
that's
territory. And I want it to do well. Riff Raff's a all woman owned business. It's local, it's small. The team is absolutely incredible. And the fact that they trust me and want to work with me again and again feels so special.
Yeah.
And I want to make them proud and I want to, I don't know.
She's falling back into people pleaser, but yes.
Do you think that that's what it is? Because
no,
I feel like
you're
it isn't as much.
You're on your, like, I don't want to be a people pleaser. And then you're like, I just want to make them proud. I just want them to love me.
Okay. Well, now.
No. It's totally fair because you're working. Like, it's a collaborative project. So I think it's totally normal to feel that. It's normal to feel that way in all kinds of aspects.
Right.
Just the juxtaposition of one to the other was making me laugh. It's not an attack.
I don't think wanting to be successful is people pleasing.
No, not at all. And wanting people to be happy with the product that you've helped.
Right.
No, that's totally
cultivate.
Normal.
Yeah.
Just,
and
I was laughing.
We spent a lot of time putting together the designs for this time.
Yeah, you worked hard.
It was, I don't know. I'm just excited about it. So.
Yeah. A lot of it's cool.
a lot of it's really, all of it's really cool. Actually, the sweatshirt that I thought was going to be my absolute favorite, like I was so excited about it and it got in and it is just as good as I thought it was going to be, is my last place pick.
Oh yeah.
And I still love it. It turned out fantastic. It's so cute. It's just everything else came in. And I was like, wait a second. This is all really good. That sounds like I wasn't expecting it to be good.
Yeah.
But it was even better than I thought.
Yeah.
It was going to be.
That's a fun surprise.
Yeah. What else? What else? What else?
I did have the thought this week, and this is a complete divergence.
That's okay.
Have you ever had a pimple inside of your nose?
I have not.
No?
No.
Have you ever had one in your ear?
I have not. I've had one like right on the edge of my ear, like right here on my, what is that called?
I don't know what that's called.
Okay.
The tab in front.
It has a name because I know people have that.
In front of the round part.
People have that piercing and it's just not coming to me what it's called. But anyway, yeah.
Is it also called a septum?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Right here.
Yeah, I know the septum in your nose, but I feel like a septum. No, I don't know what it is.
Anyway, I've had one like right on that outside
the front
spot,
cartilage,
but not in my ear.
Oh, I've had them in my. So my question of whether it's worse to have a pimple in your nose or in your ear is not going to be a very good question for you then.
No, but if I'm talking about on the outside, like along the edge of my nose or on this, I'm going to go nose.
Got it.
I think nose would be worse.
It is because you touch it way more. But I was curious if you had thoughts because the ones in your ears hurt super bad.
I'm actually surprised. I thought you would go ear because of how often you use headphones.
Yeah, but like you can just not wear headphones and that helps.
You would die without wearing headphones.
Well, that's not true. I've gone many years without wearing headphones.
Not in quite a few years.
Okay, fine.
Like as we get older, we get more rigid and we like can't change our ways as much. And I feel like one of those things, like you're going to be a 95-year-old man with AirPods glued in.
Like, they call them hearing aids, dude.
The moment that they like put implant headphones, you're going to be like, yeah, sign me up. I love that surgery.
Okay, yep.
You're just going to get the chip just put in there.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Anyway, I had a pimple right under my nose, which made me think of the times I've had pimples in my nose, but it sounds like that's not a problem for you. They hurt tremendously bad.
I'm not a stranger to acne that hurts. Actually, the last couple of months, I've been really struggling with my skin for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
Not that I haven't had a breakout, but I've had like a breakout here or there or like a spot here or there.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, I had really, really bad acne. I struggled with it a lot. And it's weird. I don't know if it's my hormones changing postpartum or what it is, but it has been a journey.
Yeah.
They've been the really like the hormonal big like cystic and they hurt really bad. Like it hurts to like open your mouth wide because you have them all along here. Have you ever had it like that?
No.
Matt, you and I, because
we have very different facial.
Well, you don't really have acne anymore.
No, I've never had acne that bad. I had like flawless skin until I had mono.
You had acne pretty bad for a little while in college after you had mono.
Yeah. No, I had mono in
high school. But I feel like that lasted into college.
But the problem was I had like flawless skin. Like if I had three pimples at a time, it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got mono. And that tanked that streak. Yeah. My skin was like, whoa, dude, your immune system's
We're going to get
nuts.
This mono out of you through your skin
yes,
for the next
it's going all out
months.
Of your face, I guess. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. And then, but still relatively moderate.
It leveled back out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been really struggling with that the last couple of months. It's been a journey. I actually had for the first time one of those days where I woke up and I looked in the mirror. I was like, I don't want to go out in public.
Oh.
Which is so dumb. It's not dumb. I shouldn't say that. That's very dismissive of my feelings, but it's just so irrelevant because I don't remember who I was talking to about this, but like I've never noticed somebody else's skin unless like if my skin's really broken out, then I notice how nice everybody's skin looks.
Sure.
But I've never noticed how like bad somebody's like when I always try to think of the last three social gatherings I've been to, what negative things have I had to say about other people, and appearance isn't nothing about their appearance comes up on the list.
It's just not memorable
no.
for the most part. You're not like, well, this person had the best skin and this person had the worst skin. Or even the extremes you don't hold on to.
Not at all. And it's like when I try to envision people in my head of what people look like, it's not relevant.
No, no.
So I don't know why I get so worked up about it. It's about
the experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. People's skin doesn't have a ton of impact on how they make you feel.
Not usually.
I know.
That would have to be a very extreme case.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to, do you have a word of the week this week? Do you want to start there or do you want to, I know that somebody emailed about word of the week.
Yeah. We've got several suggestions. Should we take a listener suggestion for word of the week?
Yeah. Word of the week. Word of the week.
Here we go.
I take a word, put it all together. Let's go ahead and see what's inside.
She's got verses now, guys. She's not limiting herself to one.
I loved Out of the Box. I will never stop loving Out of the Box. I am an Out of the Box ghoul.
Have we done this one?
What one?
Obsequious?
I don't know.
It feels familiar, but...
That sounds terrifying. Obsequious?
Obsequious.
Obsequious.
I feel like I've had to pronounce that before.
What's the definition?
Obedient or attentive to an excessive or servile degree.
What's?
Servile, like servant.
Okay.
Servile. Servile is the word of the week.
I know, that's what I was about to say. I don't think we've done that one. Can you say it again?
Obsequious.
Obsequious.
I'm like 90% sure we've done it.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's
but
not do that.
But somebody said they
wanted
the podcast.
We've
so it's
done
a throwback,
that,
guys.
And I can't remember it.
I'm not shocked. I bet you couldn't remember.
Oh,
80% of the words of the week.
My brain is so bad. You know what? I took Latin in 6th and 7th grade, and
brag.
I was going to say the only thing I remember is ecce, look, see, and facet, which is spelled like faucet, but pronounced like that. And I don't remember what that means. I just remember that.
You don't know what it means?
No. Will do.
Will do. Fuck it.
Will do.
Will do.
Yeah. Ecce, to look, to see.
Fuck it is
fuck
will
it.
Do.
Will do. Yeah.
I'll never forget fuck it, will do.
And I have no idea if that's how it's pronounced, but as a bunch of 6th graders.
I love that you have no idea how it's pronounced.
Well, I think that's how it was pronounced, but I also don't know where the joke started. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And like the real,
sure.
The real pronunciation ended.
Totally.
Because we were
fair.
11 and we could not handle that. We thought that was the funniest thing we'd
right.
ever heard in
all
our
right.
darn lives.
Love that.
Anyway, the reason I said that is 2 years of Latin.
Uh-huh.
Those are the only two words I remember. And word of the week, similar, like akimbo, glued in my head.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
It's
I'll never
the forget it.
The limbs are everywhere. They're akimbo.
Yes.
But I don't remember very many other than that.
I feel like you almost need them to be sound related.
Like, I
they need
like,
to sound like they are defined.
Well, and I need like an action with them.
Yeah.
Like whatever, acquiesce was one of ours.
Yeah.
I've heard people use that a ton since okay. we had that as a word of the week.
Sure.
Don't ask me to
people
define it.
People don't use obsequious that often, but it
obsequious.
Is a, it's a quality
obsequious?
Vocab word. Yeah.
Obsequious. That's...
A lot of people probably just use obedient.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay.
Quality choice.
Yeah, I like it.
Any bad dad, mean mom that pops through your head?
Bad dad, mean mom. Not really. I feel like I've been pretty much slaying the game in terms of parenting.
That's great.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, I'm actually in the opposite wave.
Really?
Yeah, no, I've struggled.
Matt's
feel like.
Been in his head about his parenting game.
Yeah, it's just not been all on. I haven't had the patience that I'd like to have. And it's hard. Parenting's, it's so rewarding when things go positively. But it's really hard when you can see that your actions have consequences. And not just have consequences, but you can see your kids' reactions to negative behaviors that you've had. And then you can see what that's affected. And it's really hard to be like, damn it, I caused that. Like, I know why you're doing that. And it's because I didn't react well to something. And so it's really tough to see some of those things. And we're kind of at that age, especially with G, where she's getting older and she's learning and she's reacting and it's going to happen, but it's just been tough it's been really tough to see some of those things. And there's tons of good stuff. It's just the highs and the lows are coming at you like fast.
Right, I feel now. Like you're having a realization of like regulation's really hard for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also really hard for 2-year-olds. But but that's more justified with them. Yeah. And so yeah, it's been hard to be really cognizant of having to be an example. Like you can't teach them something that they can't see.
We definitely are in that season of parenting where you realize your own, you see your own bad behaviors.
Yeah.
I would say that's my mean mom is I use my foot to hold the puppies back a lot.
Well, yeah, you'll give them a push. That's yeah. Again, this goes for both of us. No. This particular bad dad, mean mom, like you will brush them out of the way with your foot because you yes. know what, like
at the chest, how to be like gentle. Not, I'm not, yes. I'm prefacing all of this because
if they're going to knock down the baby, you like slide them out of the way with your foot. People who have dogs understand this. We're right. not kicking our animals.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Well, our toddler has taken on to yelling at the puppies.
Uh-huh.
And a couple days ago,
some swift she kicks gave at a him.
Swift kick. So
she's not gently brushing them. She's giving them a full wind up.
Yeah.
And just
well, I don't think she's kicking. Actually made a full no. impact on the puppy.
No, she's just kind of wildly swinging her leg at him.
Yeah.
But it's not but, controlled in any right. way.
We had that happen one time and I was like, I looked at Matt and I said, okay, we need to change our behaviors. If, yeah. Like, and we did. And I think that it's gone well. I haven't seen her do it since that happened. We're like, okay, if we have food, we have to be at the table. If we mm-hmm. the puppies are bothering us, our action is to put them in their bed, like you know, put in yeah. different more structured reactions to those things, because she's definitely watching us. And yep. she's like, oh, this is what my mom and dad do. I'm like, oh no, that's not good that's what we do.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's just tough. I mean, the regulating part especially has been tricky. Because it happens when they get dysregulated, like they explode and then you have to really rein it in a time when your body's like, no, freak out. And so that's it's an uphill battle, but it's good. And it also feels bad when it doesn't pan out well.
I feel like you've done really well.
No. It's again, working on it very actively. But yeah. When your toddler gives you a hug and it's like, it's okay, dad. You're like, oh, you shouldn't have to do this for me. Sorry. Yeah. This is rough. So. Yeah.
Bad dad. Mean mom.
Yeah. Which
now means we're going to Greg's Reads of the Week. Greg's Reads of the Week.
I feel like you do it with a different rhythm every time.
I do. It's Greg. Yeah. Greg. I know. Oh, I'm go. Not doing a very no, good
it's great.
Job.
No, this is, it's freestyle.
It is freestyle. All right. Number one, no place in the U.S. is safe from the climate crisis, but okay. a new report shows where it's most severe.
So, in this, we rate, Greg is your dad.
Yes.
He sends us articles.
Yes.
We rate those articles based on their headline alone, 1 to 5, how much anxiety they give us. Mm-hmm. So, 11. it started with nowhere is safe. So,
yeah, I'm going to say 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
But I also understand, like, to me, that's a relevant one to send because I think it's had sure. good information.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, logically, it makes sense that, like, people, you know, if global climate change would affect
everybody. Yeah. Yeah. But 5 out of 5.
Still an alarmist title for
major
sure.
anxiety. Okay. Oh boy. Take advantage of these incredibly favorable tax rates. These Trump era tax breaks could come to an end in 2026. How to prepare your finances so you don't end up owing Uncle Sam big time.
It is 2023, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 3 years. That's a good heads up.
Yeah.
Oh no. 4?
5.
5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like anything that says taxes, and I don't like anything that talks about the future.
Yes. Future taxes, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not in the way, I don't know. I feel like...
It's basically like, watch your ass. this could go badly for you. And you're like, well, that's like not a good title
this
to
immense
read.
Pressure, because of the way taxes are done in the United States, where we... like have a CPA that does everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all that. I feel like there's this immense pressure to like do it perfectly. because you're trying to balance, like, making sure you're paying the right amount, but, like, that you're using the proper right, but, like, everything's so complicated. Mm-hmm. And I just, maybe I'm the worst, but I'd rather just pay too much and it'd be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hate paying too much for anything, so that's not where my brain goes, but totally get it.
I'd rather stay safe.
In this particular example, it's warranted.
Yeah. All right. The 164-year-old Swedish secret to raising happy and resilient kids, says parenting expert and mom.
104-year-old secret.
164-year-old.
164-year-old secret.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, game changer. I mean, like a one. I don't know if that's giving me any anxiety.
It doesn't give me any anxiety, but I love it. And it was all about letting kids play outside.
Oh, okay.
And letting them play outside regardless of the weather.
Okay.
So, like, there isn't bad weather, only, like, bad clothing for weather.
Oh, that's a good perspective.
Yeah, which I agree with. I feel like, go out pretty much year-round.
Yeah.
And we let the kids go out and play in the rain and whatever it is, unless it's, like, lightning.
Yeah, that's true.
But...
No, that's good perspective for me, though.
Yeah, I
because there are days where I'm like, it's raining outside.
Right.
I don't want to go out there.
Which Matt loves his raincoat.
What?
You love your raincoat.
I mean, I have a good, like, raincoat.
Literally, there can be, like, Matt smells rain. He's like, I think it might rain today. Immediately in his raincoat.
Okay.
You won't catch this man not.
I pack it.
Yeah.
I just always pack it because you never know when you might need it.
I don't own a rain jacket anymore.
Do you not?
No.
Where'd it go?
I had the same one since high school. It was that red Columbia one that had the zip out.
Yeah, it was really
red.
A shell of a bigger jacket.
It was a shell of, like, a winter jacket. And I don't, it might still be in my closet, but I doubt it fits me.
Did you not get one when we went to Yosemite?
No.
No? I mean, I bought mine for that trip specifically because the weather was like, it's going to rain the entire week you're in Yosemite.
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know why I thought you did. It must have just been me.
I don't think I did. I think I just wore the one that I've had since I was 18.
Okay. Totally.
Now I'm really questioning myself, but I really don't think so. I cannot think of another rain jacket in my closet.
That is why I own a rain jacket, is because I was like, I'm not going to Yosemite and hiking for 5 days and being soaking wet the whole time.
Yeah. That was fun. Okay. These places are just devouring money. Colleges are splurging on fancy new buildings, programs to attract rich kids, report shows, and passing the bill on to everyone else.
Up until the colleges part, I don't know, four. After the colleges part, I don't know, two. It's kind of well known.
Here's the thing. Articles like this, I think I might be becoming a pessimist. I just don't know that it's relevant or matters that much because I don't feel like anything's changing anything.
Yeah, you're taking the Fawkett approach.
No. I think that there needs to be a lot of rules and regulations on the way things are done across the board. I just don't see it happening.
Because people don't like to follow the rules.
No, and people don't like to learn about stuff in order to establish regulation.
Yeah.
And so I am kind of the thought, if you're not actively trying to make a difference, don't actively and loudly complain.
Mm. Interesting.
What?
The shut up and fuck it approach.
No.
Interesting.
It's not that. It's just like when the presidential election happened in 2016 and 2020, mm-hmm. and people were upset about the results one way or another. And I would talk, and it was all anybody wanted to talk about. But then you would ask them, like, well, how did you go about it? They're like, oh, I didn't vote. Like,
fair.
It's that.
Got it.
Like,
you're not willing to participate.
Yeah.
Yes. Got
like, you need to be actively participating and learning about how to take action. I don't want to read an article about all the problems. I want to know what actions are we taking in order to...
Got it.
Does that?
Yeah. That's not a universal approach, but definitely on things like voting. I think that applies.
Well,
you're not like, don't talk about things that are bad because...
No. You know. It's not that we can't talk about things that are bad. No. That's not what I mean. But I just feel like there's a lot of complaining about, I don't know. I'm not nailing it. I don't know how to word what I'm saying. I was
trying to bail you out a little bit.
Can you help me?
Yeah. Again, I think it all goes back to like in areas where you can absolutely be contributing or making positive change, but still just complaining about it and not doing any of that. That I can see being very... Well,
but it's like across the board is I feel like doing what I do online, mm-hmm. I get a lot of feedback of what the change people are wanting to see in the world and sure. like things they don't like and things they don't like seeing. But then they're not changing anything about their lifestyle in order to accommodate. I think you're in a very
unique position on this because so many people want to project their feelings and their actions onto you. They want you to do what they think is right. Either side of an issue.
Well, apparently this headline really, really triggered me. I was gonna say,
this is not at all what this is writing about. This is just talking about how colleges have like too many admin and they waste a lot of money.
No, it's talking about how they're putting up like big fancy buildings and putting in like really over the top programs.
Yeah. And then there's also like a wild amount of like admin positions that don't actually, colleges just kind of spend more money because then they can get
make more money.
Yeah. It's not an ideal system.
You gotta waste money to make money.
That is a Bob's Burgers quote that we use all the time because we think it's funny.
It is funny.
What you're talking about, though, I think is valid because a lot of people want to project if they feel a certain way about the environment. They're like, well, don't you feel this exact same way about the environment, whether or not you do or don't? And they get upset if you don't not only feel the way they feel, but announce that and like make it a platform of yours, whether or not you're qualified to speak on it. You're like, I'm not an environmentalist. I recycle, but like, I'm not well educated on this. I'm not a person that people should be getting their opinions from.
Yeah.
But they're like, you need to speak out about this. And it's like, okay, understood.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just feeling a little down about that right now.
Yeah. I think you're just,
you've
been triggered by an article about colleges wasting money.
Oh, it's just you can't do enough for everybody.
No,
you cannot. I get it. Okay. I'll reel it in because I'm not trying to play the poor me, poor my.
No.
Because I don't feel that way.
No, and I didn't think you were. That's why I was like, we got to rein in this idea.
Yeah,
here.
My bad, everybody. My bad.
Stop complaining about things. Everything's great.
Okay. I was like,
no, that's not what we're going for.
That's not what I was trying to say in the slightest.
I know. That's why we circled the wagons.
Thank goodness. Okay. Go ahead. Read us an email.
Abort.
Bail me out.
All right, we got a ton of emails. We gotta dive into this.
I have a voicemail if you want to do that first.
Yeah, do that, and then I'll round up some emails.
Okay.
Hi, Joe and Matt. My name's Sloan. I live in Iowa, and so I love hearing about every time you guys mention Iowa. I love your dogs' names, of course. And I'm calling to ask you a question about entrepreneurship. So, Joe, I loved hearing about your process through starting photography and that you weren't really passionate about photography itself and you just saw it as a stepping stone to learn more about entrepreneurship. And I've always been really interested in working for myself and owning my own business, but most of the people around me are just working normal 9-to-5 jobs. And so it's been really hard to picture how to make that happen. So I started with content creation and that's been going really well for me so far, but I'm not sure if I should try something else like photography while continuing content creation or whether it's something else entirely. And I would just love to hear any advice you have for getting started in entrepreneurship, trying to figure out what you want to do, and maybe if you have any advice for how to make friends that are kind of in that same space. I know I also love hearing about Caroline's entrepreneurship, and I think it'd just be really awesome to have friends that are similar in that way. So any advice you have would be super awesome. Thank you.
Great question. Number one thing I'm going to say to make friends is maybe go to a conference. Save the money and go to any kind of entrepreneurial women's event that you can find. We have a lot of them in Northwest Arkansas. I'm speaking at one in March that's going to be in more central Arkansas area. I'm sure they have them in various places in Iowa, Minnesota. And don't be afraid to travel for those. People travel all the time to go to events like that. Anything that you can go to like that, because then you're connecting with like-minded women who are wanting to pursue similar things. Also, don't be afraid to reach out to people that you meet online, because that's how I've made a ton of my friends that are entrepreneurial.
That was kind of my thought, is that a lot of people that you have followed and enjoyed, like content wise, especially, you've just kind of built up a relationship going back and forth.
And it takes time. It's not like an immediate, we followed each other back and now we're best friends. Like it's been slowly building over years. And I think as I have leaned more into being self-employed and being an entrepreneur, the people around me have kind of caught wind of that. And some of them have chosen to go that route. Like my best friend, runs a photography business now. And, Caroline obviously started Foy and is doing so many incredible things. And so it's funny, the more you lean into entrepreneurship, naturally more people in that self-employed realm will begin to be in your, what am I trying to say? Your
sphere?
No. Gravitational pull. That's not trying to say. But anyway, yeah.
I don't know.
Orbit.
The gestures.
Your orbit.
Okay, I was going to say the gestures orbit. Are really throwing me off.
This is orbiting around me.
She looked like she was washing the table imaginarily.
Yeah. The more you do that, the more entrepreneurs will be in your orbit. But I really would. I would highly recommend saving your money and getting a ticket to go to any kind of entrepreneurial event that you can find, just because I think that's a great way to connect with people.
Yeah. It's very much a space you need to be able to put yourself out there too.
Yeah. It depends on what you want to do. You said you're creating content. There are endless opportunities for things to go to that they do for content creators, photographers, creatives. Yeah. So jump on that for sure.
Yeah.
And also, heck yeah, good for you. Get after it. It's so interesting for me to hear from people who most of their friends and family work a 9-to-5. Lots of my friends work to 9-to-5. It's not that I don't know anybody that works a 9-to-5, but I feel like I, because of what I do, I'm surrounded by so many entrepreneurs. Yeah. It's hard for me to imagine my life without the people who are self-employed, like so relevant in my life. And yeah, I think that it just naturally occurs over time. So keep going. And I bet when you look up, you'll realize you have a lot more people around you like that than you think.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the online route is just a really easy way to like warm into that.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
You got an email for us?
Sure. Yeah. Somebody has a great title here that just says petty question for the pod. So let's start there.
Petty question for the pod.
Hey guys, I have a petty family question. It's not a huge deal, but I can't stop thinking about it 2 months after the fact and would love to hear your opinions. Apologies for the long email. Oh, maybe I should have read this and abbreviated.
It's okay. You got it. You want me to read it?
Oh my God.
I'll read it.
It's so long.
Okay. Heck yes. Okay. Let me set the scene. Me and my husband just moved an hour south about 3 weeks before the incident. The incident. We have an almost 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and 2 dogs. We purchased our new home before selling our old home, so we are balls deep in moving. Still trying to sell our previous home and getting our 5-year-old ready and signed up to start kindergarten. The incident occurred on the Friday during the first week of school, so my husband and I are very much still figuring out the bus schedule, making sure our 5-year-old has everything else she needs for the day. I was still working an hour north at the time and was unable to take off work, so I typically left the house around 6:45 a.m. with our youngest and did not return until roughly 6:30 p.m. That Friday, the Friday of the incident, we were supposed to leave and travel to my in-laws, which was about 7 hours north. The plan was for my husband to get off work early to pick up our kindergartner, drop off our dogs at doggy daycare, drive an hour north to pack up some stuff at our old house before getting my youngest. I met them right after work at the old house, and we had a few more things to pack up before making the 6-hour drive to my in-laws.
Yikes.
Important note, the following day was a joint birthday party for my husband's grandma, who just turned 80, my daughter, who was turning 4 in several weeks, and our nephew, who was turning 3 on Friday. Everything went down on our nephew's actual birthday, Friday, the day of the incident. She doesn't write that. I just keep saying that. Okay. We were all packed up and on the road by 6:30 p.m., meaning we should get to my in-laws somewhere between 1 and 2 a.m. based off stops and getting dinner. We were in the car when we got a text from my brother-in-law saying how disappointed he was that me, my husband, and my husband's brother all forgot to wish our nephew a happy birthday on his actual birthday. He sent this in the family group message. We only get to see these family members 2 to 3 times a year, so I was planning on saying happy birthday in person when we give him his birthday present during his birthday party that we were driving 7 hours to attend. Nobody in the family responded to his message, which is very unusual and makes me think that everyone felt similarly to myself, or they just don't care. My husband could care less and would rather I drop it, but I do not want to set a precedent that it's okay for my brother-in-law to behave like this. During the actual party, a day later, he was acting distant and a bit sulky, and he did not confront us or initiate any kind of conversation. Here's my dilemma. My husband and I absolutely love this family member. He has been in our life for over 6 years, and we've never had any issues with him. We jump through hoops to make sure that we can see them and the rest of the husband's family because family is very important to us, and we want to make sure the cousins are in each other's lives. This whole situation has left such a sour taste in my mouth, and I do not know how to proceed. We will be seeing them over New Year's, and this is where I need your help. Should I talk to the brother-in-law one-on-one and try to resolve the situation, or should I sweep it under the rug? I'm still very hurt that he did not take our current situation into account before messaging us, that he blasted us in the family message instead of messaging us privately, and that he did not give us a heads up earlier in the day that our nephew would like a call or a FaceTime on his actual birthday. Thank you so much.
I suspect your nephew doesn't give a shit.
Your nephew doesn't care at all, and I don't think you bring it up because it's not important.
I think if you give your nephew a piece of candy, he'll forget about it completely for the rest of his life.
I'm telling you, if that makes you a bad aunt,
we are the worst.
We are terrible. We're so bad. I miss so many birthdays.
Oh.
I'm not good.
Yeah, so if your question is this petty? Yes, it's beyond petty.
Yeah, you're not being petty. No. He's being petty.
Yes,
that's the pettiest thing I've ever heard.
He's being wildly childish.
It's a 3-year-old. Anybody. I don't care if they're 3. Like, that's honestly, 3-year-old probably deserves more attention than somebody older.
Yeah.
But my point in it is, it's not your responsibility, especially if you're going to be up there the next day. I don't know.
No. It was definitely BS to be called out in the group. But the fact it got zero responses, I think you read that correctly. And everybody was like, wow, this is wild.
In my family group text, if one of my sisters or like, let's say one of my brother-in-laws like was like, you didn't wish, I don't know, Sunny a happy birthday, my family would go absolutely feral.
Do you think? Or would they just completely ignore it?
No, they wouldn't ignore it. They would absolutely blast. Well, okay, you know what? You're right. If it was
a 50-50 shot.
If it was a brother-in-law that said it, everybody would just ignore it and be like, well, that's weird.
They'd be like, they drank too much.
Or something. Something weird happened.
Sorry, the chair.
But if it was my sister that said something, everybody would absolutely explode.
Yeah. Now, whether to bring it up at New Year's, I feel like too much time has passed.
I agree. I
feel
I would
like
never
if you bring it up
again
at New Year's, you're the one holding on to it.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, if things are weird at New Year's, then maybe react to that. Then you're reacting to something fresh.
Yeah.
If you're like, hey, I've been thinking on this for 4 months, you're going to look crazy.
Or if somebody like brings it up, like if he brought it up at New Year's, obviously free game. Mm-hmm. But don't bring it up.
Yeah. I think it's okay to react and be like, hey, well, our circumstance was pretty crazy, and I'm really sorry that happened.
No.
It was not intended.
No. I don't think you apologize.
Okay.
Are you sorry?
I think we're just trying to patch things up.
Yeah,
you're not sorry. No,
I'm
totally
really
fair.
Anti-apologies for stuff like that.
Fair.
Like, I think that we can absolutely acknowledge the feelings there and that we can
That's
commit
a better
to
approach to say, I understand that you're upset. I understand why you're upset. Mm-hmm.
And in the future, I will take no. In the future, I will take this into consideration and be more cognizant to give a call on.
I will have
birthday.
A reminder set for 3 o'clock on this day every year.
Yeah,
and there's no way that. And if he doesn't answer the phone, I'm gonna freak out and I'm gonna call constantly.
Oh,
until midnight, at which point he's dead to me. No, yeah, okay. They are super petty. Don't bring it up at New Year's. You're going to look insane.
you're not.
But if this
but
brother
you're not
or whoever,
insane.
No,
I totally
no,
get that. That would drive
annoying.
Me nuts too.
But if it's not something that's continuing to affect things, like if it's just this thing that's bothering you. Maybe you act petty and then they have to come to you. You're like, well, you were a jerk about this. It's not a good advice, but.
No, don't do that.
No.
But don't apologize. You don't have anything to apologize for.
No, valid.
Like, I really can't fathom. Like, I'm trying to envision, like, next summer, it's G's third birthday, and my sister doesn't call.
We don't have a leg to stand on.
No,
in that
we
defense.
Don't. I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I would just be like, oh, they're busy. Like, their kids have cheer and they have school and they have, like, they're juggling a million different things. Like, they'll be at the birthday party or they won't. Also, my sisters are great at sending gifts and doing a ton of things that I'm just
yeah,
really.
Yeah, they're just much better.
Oh.
At being
I'm
family.
Not good. It's one of
now,
my worst qualities.
I think you do need to be hyper vigilant about your dog's birthday. Your children's birthdays, and if anything gets missed, you just jump all over in the family group text. You freak out.
You didn't call on the dog's birthday. No.
Our dog is completely beside itself.
No, we're not big birthday people, so also no. Remember that. We're yeah. not huge birthday people. We go to our nieces and nephews' birthday parties, and we take gifts.
Yeah.
And that's about the extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, next email.
Next email.
One more.
My goodness, guys. You're writing some long
emails.
You
want emails. Me to
read it? Yeah. I, you're in much better practice of reading.
Yeah.
I think if I try to read that, I'll lose my mind. They're good emails. They're just long.
My boyfriend and I are both 24, and I think you guys have amazing wisdom about this phase of life. All right. And they wrote a really nice paragraph about
End
us before
email.
That. But my boyfriend's family leans toward the dramatic side. We both come from larger families. I have 3 siblings and he has 4, but my siblings are all within 3 years younger than me, where his family is spread out over 13 years. Another factor that complicates things is his family has a working Black Angus farm and an optometry office.
Whoa.
All right.
That's diversified.
We met in college and I found a job about 30 minutes from his farm right after school. It's been about 2 years since then. I'm from a small town about 3.5 hours away, so I've been adjusting to the rural cultural differences. The main thing I'm still having trouble adjusting to is the family dependency for the 2 family businesses and the drama that follows. One older sister became an eye doctor like the dad and works at the office. Minimal drama. The family farm cannot function without the 3 adult sons dedicating evenings and weekends throughout spring, summer, and fall. My boyfriend and his younger brother both have 4-hour commutes round trip for their jobs, and the oldest brother's a state trooper with 2 small kids. The time isn't there to dedicate to the farm without not having time to do anything else. So the farm is in less than ideal shape, but all the work that needs done is getting done. The problem is that everyone fights about someone farming in a way they don't like, and the parents technically own/pay for everything, and they use that as the trump card. There is very poor communication and little to no planning either. I can't wrap my head around parents relying on their adult children, ages 23 to 35, spending their free time for the family farm, but the kids get little to no say about how anything should happen. The parents said, the parents paid for the kids' education, and there's this idea that the kids need to do this to pay them back or they won't get any farm inheritance. The emotional intelligence of the whole family needs work, which doesn't help. There are explosive yelling fights between all the siblings, which bringing up little grievances from the last decade. My family doesn't fight like this at all. If we have a disagreement, we either decide it's not a big enough issue to bring up or just have a heart-to-heart to find a place of understanding. The constant fighting and drama emotionally exhausts me, and I don't know what I should do about this. Is this a big enough issue to reconsider my relationship with my boyfriend? We're moving in the direction of marriage, but I know you marry the person's family too if they're close. Is this something I should just find a different coping mechanism? I tried just putting distance between me and the farm, only showed up for family functions that did not involve the farm, which half the siblings also did not show up because everything is disorganized and last minute. But that just put a strain on my relationship. There is love for the farm and the land that I just don't understand. The other farm problem is that the unpredictability of the farm has made this whole family allergic to planning or being on time. There's often farm emergencies that need immediate attention, example, a cow got out, or certain chores that are weather dependent. This has carried over to other parts of all their lives and has also instilled a shame in being unproductive at any time, which leads to agreeing to do more than they can handle, which leads to lateness. My family's the opposite and likes to have loose plans with room for downtime. I can handle this issue, but it just adds another layer of stress for me that the whole family doesn't understand. I'd appreciate any advice or just thoughts.
Ooh.
Farm life, buddy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Drama life. I thought that was a good one to go with our Our petty family.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Topic.
I mean, yeah, I think that's something to consider your relationship as a whole, because I don't think nothing you do is going to change that.
Yeah, it's tough. If it was one relationship, it was just between your boyfriend and his parents, then it's like, okay, I can help pitch in. If it's a whole family dynamic, it's a bold call to think that you're going to fix that. Or
have a tool that like
yeah,
that helps makes you it better engage for you with it.
As
yeah.
someone who seems to handle conflict just better.
Yeah. And farms don't, even if it's a really well-run operation,
yeah.
farming in general is really unpredictable, at least from my understanding from my family that farms.
It's not predictable. It's a huge time commitment. There are emergencies that just require you to be available whenever. Planning is very difficult. Like that, those are realities of that life and that lifestyle.
No matter how well organized it is, I feel like.
Unless you have a complete team that can handle it. What, like, you need to have somebody staff. To back you up completely. Like, somebody has to be able to do everything you can do.
Which is expensive.
Yes.
And yeah. not mm-hmm. existent in most like family operations.
Or you need serious structure that people are doing this at certain times and that you've got schedules that go, you know. I can see if you had three people, you could be like, okay, two people at a time, whatever. Not the point. Yeah, totally justified. Don't know how much you've talked to your boyfriend about this.
I think that's the big question
I have.
Yeah, I agree.
Is how much has this been communicated to him? Because, yeah, that it's a serious issue for sure. Like, if this is going to, because it's not just going to affect family life. If this is going to be work, and your reality and where you're going to live and how that's going to like,
well, and my thought was, how much has it been communicated with him and what are his feelings on the matter?
Yeah.
Because I think that that is really where it lands for me. Is this something that he wants to participate in and that he's not willing to give up? Because that's going to be more of a red flag for me in terms of staying in a relationship. Whereas, you know, if he thinks it's way over the top too and mm-hmm. is willing to consider not being a part of that anymore in order to prioritize your relationship and communication, then I feel differently.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah, it's important to understand what his priorities are in this. If you're more important than this drama and the family farm and whatever else and how that's going to be handled. Cause, that would affect how a lot of things go down.
This is probably privilege talking, but I don't think it's worth making your life miserable for a supposed inheritance.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd rather have to work my whole life doing something that I like to do than spend 10 to 15 years of my life miserable in order to gain something in the future.
Yeah, and having it held over your head. That's really tough to be told that you're
And that's not every owed. Like obviously there's a lot more nuance in that.
For
and
sure.
So there can be different mm-hmm. ways of looking at that, but I just don't think money is a tool, and I think financial security is obviously really, really important. But I also think that if you can find the place of security without, sometimes it's worth it to turn your back on that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It may be something where it just needs space, or they need to see that it's really affecting people. The parents I'm thinking of in this case that,
it's hard when there are a lot of siblings though.
Yeah.
Because if it's
because
just one sibling
as well,
like, well, I was thinking if there's only one sibling, like proving that it's impacting people, then they tend to dismiss, like I would imagine that there's a dismissal aspect where it's like, oh, well that's just the oddball sibling. Look
yeah,
at how
it can
well
be
it's
two
working.
Or three on one. Yeah. Like we can all handle it.
Yeah.
That's on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's yeah. It sounds dysfunctional. Sorry.
It does sound dysfunctional.
Is it too late for him to become an eye doctor? Maybe pivot?
Yeah. What do you think about sending him to optometry school?
Seems cool. Sounds like he's going to owe a lot more and they're going to hold that over his head, but it sounds less dramatic. So
it does. Oh,
maybe you could be an
hard.
Optometrist.
That's like, that really is. That's a,
yeah, that's maybe, a chaotic life.
Maybe
that's
you
not
can
good
be
advice.
An optometrist.
Sorry.
That's really
wanted
funny.
To put a comedic bow on it.
Yeah, that's hard. I don't have a good answer to that.
Totally valid to reevaluate the relationship on that, though.
Yeah.
Not, again, and it's less because I think it's super valid to say, oh, well, you're marrying the family as well as the person. But in this particular case, it is so extreme. And it's talking about not just family, it's talking about careers and work-life balance. Well, I think
it just depends on how much your boyfriend wants to be involved with his family.
Yeah.
Because like there are some people I know who their families are not great, but they're committed to their partner and they see them at Christmas or they see them at the family reunion once a year or whatever it is.
They don't see them.
Yeah. Or they don't see them at all. And so I don't know that I kind of like what Matt said. I don't know that I agree that you marry the family. Mm-hmm. But if your boyfriend is really committed to a relationship and that's really important to him, then yeah, you absolutely do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so again, you didn't say how much has been communicated. Maybe this is thoroughly been communicated and you know where he stands, but I think it's something you have to take in there and be very serious. Like, hey, this is pretty wild. And I don't know that mm-hmm. I want to be involved.
Well, it's not worth living in a state of stress about stuff like that all the time.
No.
Because it won't change. Farming's stressful.
Yeah.
It just is. Like, there's such a lack of respect for what that entails, not just from a physical labor standpoint, but emotionally and the time commitment and the way it impacts families. And that's not going to change.
Yeah.
I mean, it might get organized. Like, maybe you'll have the benefit of them getting more organized or something like that. But at the root of it, like, it's always going to be mm-hmm. a tough gig.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of volatility, and your margins are tight and variable. And, yeah, it's...
We both come from farming families. I don't know if anybody knows that about us.
Not to say that we have intimate knowledge of
how... We are not farm kids. Yeah. Let us clarify.
Yeah, not City to pretend kids. That we have intimate, familiar knowledge with how a farm operates. We've just seen it.
You're looking at city kids, but like second gen.
Yeah.
So we were, well, I guess I'm third gen.
Yeah.
My dad's cousins and everything do the farm. So I guess let me think about it. Oh,
my
so I would.
I mean, my dad's brother still operates the farm.
Right. But that's what I mean is like I am... to farming as our kids will be to farming with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're much more directly connected because both your parents were raised on farms.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of those is still operating.
Yeah. Whereas both my parents were already like they were the first, their parents were raised on farms and then they were the first ones not.
Totally.
Because aunts and uncles took over.
Yep.
And so I grew up visiting the family farm a lot, but.
Good luck. Sounds crazy.
Yeah, it does.
Families, man.
Families, man. Well, on that note, we won't catch you next week, but we'll see you after Thanksgiving, and we love y'all, and have a great, thankful end to your November, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
Bye.